Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. We are together here for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. All across the Spiz Grizz. Plenty to get to here in these 3 hours. It is Combine Week in Indianapolis. The next stars of the National Football League on display in Indy. The NFL draft season has officially begun. A huge night in college basketball ahead after a big Monday to detail for you with a new AP Top 25 less than 3 weeks out from Selection Sunday. A short slate DRS in the NBA. Only 4 games, a quadruple header, but a couple of wild finishes that we'll recap before setting the stage for a much larger Tuesday slate around the association.
Yes, we do. Big Tuesday card here in college basketball and also across the NBA landscape. And when we talk about the NFL, yes, it is Combine Week, but the running backs, maybe, Ben, they should actually have a veteran combine so Saquon Barkley and the boys can run 40s and show their true value to the NFL, which is right now not that much.
Not that much at all. Neither Saquon Barkley, nor Derrick Henry, nor Tony Pollard, nor Josh Jacobs will be tagged by their respective NFL franchises. Plenty to get to here in this franchise tag window, all a part of the early going of the NFL offseason calendar that we will break down for you over these next 3 hours, again, up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. We look back on a Monday night in college basketball. A new AP poll, a new team inside the top 10, North Carolina, where history was made last night inside the Dean Dome in Chapel Hill. ACC affair against Miami. Before we get to the game, we welcome in our Sports Grid radio audience. Hour number one of a Tuesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, Sirius XM Channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. He is Donnie. I am Ben. So North Carolina, now number 9 in the country in the AP Top 25 that was released yesterday afternoon. A 14.5-point home favorite against the Miami team that was struggling and without two of its best players in Nigel Pack and Wuga Poplar, made it a game last night in Chapel Hill. But history was made for UNC's guard RJ Davis. A Dean Dome record 42 points. A career high for RJ Davis, who will be a first-team All-American this season as UNC holds on 75-71. They do not cover as a 14.5-point home favorite, but they get a big victory. Now 14-3 is Carolina, Donnie, in ACC action.
That number was pretty high yesterday, close to 2 touchdowns at the closing line. Miami did put forth a good effort here, only losing by 4 points and easily covering that number basically throughout that entire basketball game. But RJ Davis was really good in that game. 42 points, that's a lot. You typically, oh, the NBA guys do it all the time. Not in college basketball. That's a great performance, knocking down three-point shot after three-point shot. They needed that performance at home. But also, this now puts Miami on the little proverbial clock, meaning they better make a run to win the ACC in the ACC tournament here coming up shortly. And by the way, as you pointed out, they're expected to get some of these guys back. They could make for an interesting out ACC championship week.
They will be a team to pay attention to based on that lineup under Jim Larrañaga. Meanwhile, for UNC, they needed all 42 from R.J. Davis. Harrison Ingram was the second leading scorer for the Heels last night. He only had 8. 42 points from Davis. Again, a Dean Dome record in Chapel Hill. 21 points for R.J. Davis in each half as North Carolina wins 75-71. The Tar Heels should be that number one seed in the ACC tournament, 14-3 now in conference play. A Big 12 battle last night in Fort Worth, where we had that trend that has been very strong all year in men's college basketball. An unranked home favorite against a ranked road opponent, except that trend was not your friend last night. Baylor goes on the road, now number 15 in the country, and knocks off TCU, winning outright as a short underdog, getting 2.5 points, 62-54. Jacoby Walter key in the second half as Baylor prevails in Fort Worth.
Yeah, I thought TCU was the right play here, but Baylor brought their three-point shot, particularly in the first 10 minutes of the second half, pulling away from an ugly rock fight, which was 25-23 at the break here. That shows the mettle there that you have for Baylor, because you had that tough loss at home in an exciting atmosphere, noon tip-off down there in Waco, and then you move forward and say, all right, you're going to have a tough game on the road in Big 12 play, and you handled your business in style here. A nice, easy victory, because they really controlled the second half.
Yeah, they certainly did. Big win for Baylor. Never easy to win on the road in conference action. Speaking of the Big 12, Houston now stands atop the country in men's college basketball. The Cougs ranked number one in the AP poll released yesterday afternoon. Kelvin Sampson's Cougars, number one in the country for the first time this season.
Yeah, we'll see how long they can hold it for, but you're at the top of the pantheon. That target is going to be on your back for the rest of the Big 12 season and certainly through the Big 12 championship stages and on to March Madness here. Let's see how it holds up, but Houston certainly deserving to be in that number one spot.
Houston was number one for 7 weeks during this previous college basketball season. That was their first time ranked number one in the country since the Phi Slamma Jamma days back in the early 1980s. Kelvin Sampson has turned Houston into a perennial powerhouse. Again, a short slate in the NBA, only 4 games, but what a wild finish inside Madison Square Garden. The New York Knicks booked as a double-digit favorite against the Detroit Pistons, down by a point in the final 20 seconds. Jalen Brunson misses a three for the lead. Ball is batted around. Detroit has it. Throws it back into play. Josh Hart strips a Pistons player. Ball is battled around. It gets taken away by Dante DiVincenzo and Jalen Brunson, who give it underneath to Josh Hart, who goes up the hoop and the harm is good. The Knicks win by 2, 113-111 in a wild finish inside the Garden.
Yeah, and I thought the double-digit line was too much here, and the Detroit Pistons covered that fairly easily in that game as they're now 4-25 on the road. But that's a gutty performance for the Knicks here. Again, waiting for some superstar players to come back to the lineup. You want to stack those victories. They got that one last night. They're not upset about winning by 2 points when they were favored by roughly 12 in that game. That's a good win for the Knicks.
The Pistons have now covered in 8 of their last 12 games. Pay attention to Detroit. The running back conversation that Donnie led off with will be discussed on this show today. Saquon Barkley will not be getting the franchise tag, nor will Derrick Henry and some other running backs, premier running backs around the National Football League.
The cap went up unbelievably higher this year, over $30 million per team, but looks like the teams are saying the running back position is not one of value. We're not paying anybody here, and we will get bargain basement prices down the line on some really good running backs.
The Pac-12 is absolutely stacked in women's college basketball. We saw that last night. Top 15 tilt in Westwood between UCLA and Colorado. The Bruins victorious by 8, 53-45, covering as a 6.5-point home favorite. And speaking of women's hoops, Breanna Stewart, the reigning WNBA MVP, is returning to Brooklyn on a 1-year deal with the New York Liberty, who will look to make another run to the WNBA Finals. We're back live right here on a Tuesday on the Early Line, entering the zone. College hoops next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Two top 25 teams in action on a Monday around men's college basketball. We enter the zone here on a Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. So, Donnie, we go to the top 10 team in action last night at home in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. A team that was 13-3 entering in ACC action, booked as a 14.5-point home favorite against a reeling Miami team without its two star guards, Nigel Pack, who had been on the sideline for a few games. But Wuga Poplar was a surprise out last night for the Hurricanes. And despite all of that, and booked nearly as a 15-point home favorite, we thought Carolina would cruise to a victory, anything but. Only a 4-point game last night inside the Dean Dome, 75-71. UNC does prevail. They get their 14th victory in ACC play. RJ Davis sets a record inside the Dean Dome with 42 points, but Miami does cover as that 14.5-point road underdog.
And to remind ourselves, too, it's a 40-minute game here. You take a look at Miami's starting lineup, 35 minutes, 33 minutes, 40 minutes, 26 minutes, and 36 minutes. They were short on the bench. And by the way, Ben, only got 2 points of bench help here in support of that starting lineup. But the ultimate equalizer, as we know in college sports, is the three-point line. Take a look at Miami, 14 of 30, which is close to 47%, which kept them in this one. We talked about this game yesterday. I actually thought North Carolina was going to steamroll the Miami Hurricanes. And then you even had Poplar out at that game, as you said, close to game time. It's like, where do we go from here? But Miami was game all the way through. It's a shame what could have been for the Miami Hurricanes. But no, they're 6-12 in conference play. They're not going to have any chance to get an at-large bid. It must be the automatic bid by going through the ACC, which they probably won't get. But it doesn't mean you can't make money on the Miami Hurricanes still moving forward. That's a good win for North Carolina here. Didn't bring their A game outside of one player and still picked up that victory. But what could have been for Miami still resonates as they easily got the cover.
Listen, the Canes will be a team to monitor during the ACC tournament in just a few weeks if Wuga Poplar and Nigel Pack return healthy, because you can see it in spurts at times. Norchad Omier, the big man for Jim Larrañaga and Miami, 22 points last night to lead the Canes in scoring. Bensley Joseph, 21 points as well. Miami had 4 players score in double figures. Carolina only had 1. It's just he scored a ton of points. 42 for RJ Davis, a career high for Davis, a North Carolina record set inside the Dean Dome. The most points ever scored in Chapel Hill, 42 last night for Davis, who was not a preseason All-ACC selection. He will be an All-ACC first-teamer at the end of this college hoop season, and he will be, in my estimation as well, Donnie, a first-team All-American. When you look at North Carolina, despite the fact that nobody else scored in double digits outside of RJ Davis, with Davis in the steady veteran presence of Armando Bacot and having the athletic Harrison Ingram and the young point guard in Elliot Cadeau, I think UNC is a team that could make a deep run come NCAA tournament time, as we look at the overall odds outlook for the Tar Heels and Hubert Davis here in 2023-24.
And why not? Because when you look at the NCAA tournament, it's won by guards. Great guard play wins. Great guard play gets you to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, and the Final Four. It's no longer the big man that you worry about getting the 15 rebounds down low. Now, granted, we'll see what Zach Edey has, but in the past, Zach Edey's usually the most dominant player on the court. That hasn't helped Purdue at all. Maybe it does this year, but if you're going to get guard play, as you've seen from RJ Davis last night, which included 7-11 from three-point range, sometimes that's all you need to advance, a guard getting hot and taking control of the game, which he did last night, 75-71. They didn't get the cover. They got the win. But also, as you're right, this is one of those snapshot games that you say, do we have a player outside of Bacot that can take over this basketball game from a guard position? You found one of those guys, and certainly an All-American status, probably on the way, as you said, as well.
There are 3 teams right now tied with a 20-1 price, which is 6th best on the FanDuel Sportsbook. North Carolina, Marquette, and Auburn all 20-1 at this current juncture to cut down the nets in early April out in Phoenix as a national champion. Donnie, we'll dive into these numbers more as we approach the NCAA tournament, but just something to know. You use KenPom. I use KenPom. If you follow anything in college basketball, you know who Kenneth Pomeroy is. Since 2002, the last 21 men's NCAA tournament national champions, 20 of the 21 have ranked in the top 20, of offensive efficiency and the top 25 in defensive efficiency as well. The only team that did not, 2014 UConn, that was an outlier who, led by Shabazz Napier, made a magical run to win a national title. Right now, North Carolina, 25th. And offensive efficiency, 7th best in terms of defensive efficiency, right there on the cusp of fitting those metrics to be a true national championship contender. Something to pay attention to. Carolina now 14-3 straight up in ACC play, 10-7 against the spread. The best cover team in the Big 12 entering last night, the TCU Horned Frogs, covering in 4 straight, 10-4 against number, booked as a home favorite against 15th-ranked Baylor. Baylor moves back in the AP poll by 4 spots, but still a top 15 team. So we had the phenomenon that we love throughout February and that strong trend. Unranked home favorite against a ranked road foe. Where entering last night, that home unranked favorite, 9-3 straight up, 8-4 against the spread. Now make that 9-4 outright, 8-5 ATS, as Baylor wins outright in Fort Worth, 62-54, getting 2.5 points.
The defense does travel. You hold TCU on their home court to 33% as a team, which included 26% from the three-point line. You're going to win a lot of basketball games, particularly when you yourself shoot 40% from the three-point line. This is what we expected out of Baylor for most of the season. We just didn't get a lot of these great three-point shooting opportunities here. And they also, talking about the Baylor Bears, let one slip on Saturday afternoon against Houston. They probably should have won that game, even though they needed a big comeback. All you needed was that one free throw late in the game, and you get that victory. I thought there might have been a hangover on a short turnaround to take on TCU, which was home on Saturday against Cincinnati and picked up the victory there. It was a close game at the half, but this game was the Baylor Bears right off the bat in the second half, really took control of this one and coasted down the stretch. This is a big win for those Baylor Bears. I want to see what they do down the stretch in the Big 12, because this is one of those teams that might be lying in wait for a legitimate chance to make a run if that three-point shooting does stay where it needs to be, around 40%, Ben.
DRS, this was that spot last night, based on the trend you could look at firmly and say TCU laying a short number, that was the right side. I was a little bit skeptical just because the Bears had lost both of their games last week, albeit to 2 top 25 opponents in Provo on Tuesday, Saturday at home against the now number one team in the country in Houston. Scott Drew and Baylor dropping 3 straight. Not something that has often happened. And Baylor has now been an underdog 6 times in conference play in the Big 12, 3-3 against the spread. And last night against the Horned Frogs, the first outright win for Baylor as an underdog in Big 12 play this year. A total at 147.5 stays well, well under. So here we are once again. We know Baylor has the pedigree. 20-8 is the overall record for Scott Drew's Bears this season. 11-1 to win a Final Four and a 45-1 number to win a national championship. I shared the KenPom numbers, and based on historical trends, where you need to stack up based on the metrics, Baylor, 5th most efficient offense, 85th, though, in defense. But that defensive performance can certainly move them up the board if they play like that next month in March.
And also, you see those numbers. They're due to change here. Why? You take a look at this Saturday afternoon at home in Waco. They're going to take on number 7 Kansas here. They win that game, that 45-1 drops to 35-1 just from that one win alone. So here's the thing. If you like the Baylor Bears, you sort of got to measure up that game, because you're sort of hoping they lose and get a better number, saying like, okay, we can get hot in the conference tournament and also into March Madness. But that's a major measuring stick game to see what Baylor has. For the put it this way. Could have beaten Houston, TCU, and Kansas all in a row. Could have been factored in here. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be a really big night in the Big 12 on this Tuesday and pretty much every single day that remains in the regular season. Now to the NBA, a quadruple header last night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Around the association we go on this Tuesday morning, live right here all across the Sports Grid Network. It's the Early Line, a short slate in the NBA on a Monday. just four games. It was really the first time following the All-Star break we didn't see at least 8, 10, 12 games on a night in the association. But we did have some wild conclusions, including last night inside Madison Square Garden, which should have been anything but wild based on the pregame number. The New York Knicks, an 11.5-point home favorite against the Detroit Pistons inside the world's most famous arena, MSG. New York should have strolled to a victory. It was a game the Knickerbockers desperately needed, having lost 6 of their last 8 entering, and it seemed like that was going to be 7 of 9 against Detroit. Instead, a wild 20 seconds to end out regulation. Jalen Brunson attempts a 3. It misses. Long rebound goes out near the end line. It is saved by a Detroit Pistons player. The ball is then knocked loose by Josh Hart. Ends up in the hands of Hartenstein for New York, who kicks it out to Dante DiVincenzo, who tries to get the ball back inside. It is taken away by Amen Thompson, which is then a loose ball, a collision between Dante DiVincenzo and Jalen Brunson. Brunson gets the basketball back. He takes it down, hands it in to Josh Hart, who goes up, hoop and the harm. The bucket is good, and the and one. I think I said Amen Thompson. I think it's Asar that plays for Detroit. Either way, a wild finish inside Madison Square Garden. The Knicks come out on top, 113-111 over Detroit. The Pistons do cover, though, as your 11.5-point underdog.
Yeah, they were big-time dogs in that one, coming out of the game 4-24 on the road, and rightfully so. And also, are the Pistons actually trying to win games now, which is crazy. We saw a close one a couple nights ago against the Orlando Magic at home. Then we see a close one here on the road against the Knicks. But shout out the Knicks here. And again, they're not on any sort of a win streak here. What, they win 2 of their last 3 games, but losers overall over the past couple weeks heading into the All-Star break. And quite frankly, any win for them is a big win. You look at their starting lineup. Okay, Jalen Brunson is a really good basketball player. The rest of the players stink, and it's great. Like, you look at that game last night, and I saw that line as being a little bit too high for myself. We got to wait for that original starting lineup to come back here for the Knicks to see what they actually are. So just like the Philadelphia 76ers playing without Joel Embiid, at least this ball club here is now saying, you know what, against teams we have to beat, we are winning. Because again, quite frankly, looking at that starting lineup, it's bad for the Knicks. You'll take that. You say, oh my goodness, they didn't cover that game last night. No. That's a great win for the Knicks. It's Brunson and the boys just trying to scrape by until the starters come back to the lineup, which includes Julius Randle. When are they coming back, by the way? My goodness.
I don't really know. I know that Jalen Brunson was great last night, 35 points, a game high, to go along with 12 assists. Josh Hart, of course, was the hero at the end of regulation. He is a Tom Thibodeau basketball player crafted in a lab. 23 points for Hart, 8 boards, 6 assists, 2 steals, only 1 turnover. And he played 42 minutes last night, and it was the effort and the energy that forced a couple of loose balls in that final possession to begin with. So Detroit does cover as an 11.5-point underdog. Again, we will all look back at this season for the Pistons as wildly disappointing in the first year of the Monty Williams era after the record-breaking deal that he was paid this offseason. Detroit with a 28-game losing streak, the longest ever in the history of the NBA. But now the Pistons are playing competitive basketball in covering numbers. Sure, they've lost 6 straight, but Detroit has covered in 8 of its last 12 games, in 14 of its last 19. The Pistons as an underdog, 27-24-1 against the number. Detroit is profitable. And in all 5 games entering last night on their losing skid, they had gone under, not last night. Tough one for me. Took the under of 222.5. Might have had it if Detroit could have secured a loose ball there at the end. They did not. The New York Knicks, though, Donnie, a game they needed. And you're right. It is not their all-star lineup. It is not their healthiest lineup. It is not the best version of New York at this moment. No OG Anunoby last night. No Julius Randle, as you alluded to. It is not the team that we saw in January that went 14-2. This team now in February is 4-6. That was just their 3rd win in their last 9 games, and they have only covered once in that 9-game span. It will be interesting to see what this New York team looks like down the stretch. They are trying to hold on to that 4 spot in the Eastern Conference to host a playoff series, at least in the opening round, inside Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, it'd be great if they could do that here, because it seems like on a day-to-day basis. I know when, like, OG Anunoby went down and also with Julius Randle, I didn't think it was going to be this long-term. And it doesn't mean that they're going to be out 2 to 3 months, but every day I keep checking the lineups, and they just don't appear in there. So hopefully back sooner than later, because you're right. The New York Knicks right now, their only job is to just tread water until those guys come back, because if Jalen Brunson is going to play this well down the stretch and you add some legitimate star power right behind him, the Knicks could be a fun team to watch here. But even though you take a look at that score, as I keep saying, 113 to 111, that's a good win by the Knicks here, because quite frankly, they weren't even as talented as the Detroit Pistons. They just have a superstar player stepping up in the moment, Brunson, at home, and are saying, you know, we got to win these games, when technically Detroit's like, you know what, if we play well and lose, is that such a bad thing? It's actually not. So good win by the Knicks last night.
By the way, 26 games now for the Knicks in the calendar year of 2024. They have gone under in 20 of 26, despite last night trickling to the over. Cade Cunningham on the other side for the Pistons, 32 points. An interesting upset in Sacramento last night. The Miami Heat, shorthanded based on injury and suspension due to the brawl with the Pelicans on Friday night. No Jimmy Butler last night. No Tyler Hero due to injury. Bam Adebayo and the boys still steal one in Sacramento, winning 121-110. The Heat went outright, Donnie, as a 7.5-point underdog in the capital of California.
Yeah, craziness yesterday. And I actually said, you know what? I'll take a contrarian view with the Miami Heat. But we were talking in the morning with a legitimate chance for Rozier to play and also Tyler Hero. Shortly after our show ended, both of those guys were out. Like, oh, that's going to be a really easy victory here for the Sacramento Kings. And not so here. That Heat culture keeps coming up to bite some teams here. 121 points out of that starting lineup. That's wild. The one thing that was good about this game last night, I posted a ticket this morning at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Nice little odds boost up to plus 200 that combined for Bam Adebayo, who dropped 28 points, and also Sabonis to score 14 points, which means they had to equate to 40-plus points between the two. Yeah, they barely got there. Thank you, Bam Adebayo, for scoring 28 points. But that was a nice bet here. But that's one of those games that the Heat were not supposed to win, and a throwaway game that they come away with a double-digit victory on the road against the Kings. That's crazy, man. That's the NBA.
As a 7.5-point dog, Bam Adebayo, 28 points, 10 boards, 7 dimes, nearly a triple-double, which is something Domantas Sabonis does pretty much every night now, 14 points, 14 boards, and 10 assists. Keegan Murray, the second-year pro out of Iowa, a team-high 28 points for Sacramento, hit 6 triples, but albeit in a losing effort. The Kings have not been great when booked as a favorite this year. Now just 17-19-1 against the spread. But pay attention to Miami. They have won 6 of their last 7 games. They have won 4 straight, outright as a dog in all 4. They have covered in their last 5 as an underdog. And because of the win for the Heat, and another shocking result last night in Indianapolis, Miami out of the play-in tournament at this current juncture, 32-25, now in the 6th spot in the Eastern Conference, surpassing the Indiana Pacers, who are a 6-point home favorite, second leg of a back-to-back, sure, but in Indy against the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors went outright by 8, 131-22. Again, Toronto was getting 6 points on the road in Indy.
Yeah, it's a bad loss for the Pacers there. And quite frankly, even though they were on a back-to-back, still the better team here. Toronto was coming into this game 9-20 on the road and 21-36 overall. They pick up that victory. I didn't see that one coming. And also, the Halliburton didn't even show up last night. Played 32 minutes, 2-for-11 from the field, only 9 points. Siakam, however, did play good basketball, 11-for-22 from the floor, which equated to 27 points. It's a bad loss for the Pacers. One of those teams, again, we talk about, so much fun to watch. The tempo is there, but will it hold up in the playoffs? This is one of those games that if you're looking to make the playoffs and get seeding, you got to take down the Toronto Raptors in your own building here. They weren't able to do that.
Indiana had covered in both of its games since the All-Star break, 31-25-3 ATS entering last night. Fourth best cover team in the NBA. They lose outright at home as the favorite. And they had also gone under in 5 of their last 6. Total goes over 245.5. Between the Pacers and the Raptors. Scotty Barnes, 21-12-12, a triple-double to lead Toronto. Pascal Siakam, you mentioned the 27 points, also 9 boards and 6 dives. Benedict Mathurin, a game-high 34 points. It's just 7 players for the Raptors scored in double figures. A big victory for Toronto outright. The Raptors, not great in terms of the overall win-loss record, but 18-18-1 now against the spread when booked as an underdog. This was an interesting game with an interesting line last night, and I guess the odds makers had it correct. Brooklyn booked as a 2-point road favorite in the Grind City against Memphis, and they easily cover. 111-86, the victory for the Nets over the Grizz.
Yeah, stone cold line there for the Brooklyn Nets. We talked about it yesterday, and I still was saying to myself, I'm not taking them laying points on the road here. And even superstar Ben Simmons decided once again to sit this basketball game out, but it was over right away. 30-18 win in the first quarter by the Brooklyn Nets, followed up by a 36-22 win in the second quarter. This game was a wrap by halftime here. Yes, the Memphis Grizzlies are bad, but that was a surprising result to see 111-86 from the Nets out there.
As I was starting to break things down yesterday, the Nets had lost seven of their last eight entering last night, only covered once. It was in their only win when booked as a favorite. They were a dog in all seven losses. If the Nets are a favorite, maybe that's something to be said. Brooklyn was 15-18 entering 2024. They are now 7-17 since. An interesting game coming up here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is a time of basketball here in this opening hour, live on a Tuesday on the Early Line on SportsGrid. So now we play a game. What is more likely, a crossover edition in men's college hoops at the D1 level and in the NBA? We will break it all down for you and present the possibilities and then make our selection. So we start by looking at the favorites in college hoops. It's UConn to go back-to-back. The Huskies at this moment, the best price to win a national championship this year at plus 550. The Celtics are the favorites in the NBA. Boston, by far the best team in the association. The only team with more than 40 wins, and the C's have 47. They have won eight straight games. A plus 230 price for the Celtics to win the Larry O'Brien trophy this season in the NBA. So what is more likely? UConn wins the NCAA tournament. Boston wins the NBA championship.
Oh, for me, it's easy. It's the Boston Celtics winning an NBA championship. Forget about the odds here, plus 230 to plus 550. We're not even just gunning for better odds in order to do that. You take a look at the Celtics, maybe this number would be really interesting if we said, hey, the NBA playoffs are exactly the same as March Madness. One loss and you go home. You'd say, ooh, that could be an interesting one, night-to-night basis with professional teams. But you have to beat the Celtics four times in seven games when they are going to have home court advantage. And they are an unbelievable A, basketball team, and B, home basketball team as well. It's just hard. The variance catches up to you here in college basketball, Ben, as you said it multiple times. It's been a long time since we had a back-to-back winner in NCAA action, not because those players move on, but just the variance of you got to win six straight games against crazy competition in different cities, never on your home court. That's tough to do.
Yeah, absolutely so. John Rothstein, who will join us later on in our final hour to end out hour three, has made the point about where UConn would be if they were the top overall seed in the East region. They would play their opening round games inside the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. That would be a semi-home floor advantage with how well the Huskies travel in terms of their fan base. And then they would play the East regional semifinal, Sweet 16, and potential regional final, Elite Eight, in Boston, inside TD Garden. Speaking of those Celtics, who, to Donnie's point, 26-3 at home. Best home record, best overall record, hottest team in the NBA. A 7.5 game advantage for the Celtics right now for that top spot in the Eastern Conference standings. They are going to be the one seed in the Eastern Conference come playoff time. It is Boston, not just because the price is shorter. That is always going to be the case in the NBA. Only 16 teams make the playoffs technically once we get out of the play-in tournament round, as opposed to 68 in the NCAA tournament bracket. You have much longer prices to win a national championship in college hoops than in the association, but it's Boston even if it's not for the disparity of how the numbers stack up. The Celtics should be the favorite, as should Connecticut, but the Celtics are the more likely team to cash that ticket. We have not seen, by the way, a repeat back-to-back national champion in college hoops since Florida did so in 2006 and 2007 at the men's Division I level. Here is my favorite question of the What's More Likely game. As we present double-digit seeds to reach the Final Four or a play-in tournament team to reach the NBA Finals. Since the bracket expanded to 64 teams in the NCAA tournament back in 1985, six double-digit seeds have reached the Final Four. Since the play-in tournament began in 2020, only one play-in tournament team has reached the NBA Finals. It was last year, the eighth seed, the Miami Heat. So what is more likely? A double-digit seed reaches the Final Four or a play-in tournament team makes the NBA Finals?
I'm going play-in tournament team because if we take a look now, and granted, a lot of things are going to change both in the NBA and also in the NCAA action over the next couple weeks. So it's going to set up those seed lines. But if we're taking a look at some of those teams on that, let's just say, double-digit seed line starting at 10, Texas, New Mexico, Nevada, and Virginia. Doesn't get me all that excited. The 11 seeds, Wake Forest, Seton Hall, Providence, Gonzaga, and also Texas A&M. Doesn't really get me all that excited here. Now, if we flip it over to the NBA, I'm even going to remove, Ben, the Eastern Conference as a whole. All right, who's going to wind up in that play-in round? Pacers, Magic, Bulls, Hawks, maybe the Brooklyn Nets. That doesn't excite me that much. But you flip it over to the Western Conference, and you say who can come into that play-in round? Because there's a legitimate, let's just say, it's the Warriors, Lakers, Mavericks, and Kings there. Some talented teams nonetheless, but also extended to teams that could drop into that play-in round, which means the Phoenix Suns and Kevin Durant, and also the New Orleans Pelicans. There is some firepower in the West that's going to wind up in that play-in series that if they play good basketball and are hot, I can certainly see them running the table and making it into a Western Conference Finals and or an NBA Finals shot here much, much more than I can, Ben, to see those double-digit seeds making a run here in the tournament.
So I'm going to go with a double-digit seed reaching the Final Four, although on paper, and you look at the specific teams that we know in order and in the standings at this moment in the NBA, I would agree it comes from the Western Conference as well. You could make an argument for a team like the Mavericks, the Lakers, the Warriors, if the Suns fall back into play-in tournament consideration. No doubt about it. But just based on recent trends, let me make the argument for a double-digit seed to reach the Final Four. Six since 1985, three since 2016. My Syracuse Orange as a 10 seed in 2016, Loyola Chicago as the 11 seed in 2018, UCLA most recently an 11 seed back in 2021. And last year was a tournament that lived up to the billing March Madness for the first time. Since the bracket expanded in 1985, we saw zero number one seeds reach the Elite Eight. For the first time in the history of the NCAA tournament, since the field expanded in 1985, we saw no seeds, one, two, or three, reach the Final Four. UConn was the highest seed as a four seed, and they ended up winning, of course, a national championship. We did not have a double-digit seed last year, although we did have a nine seed in FAU reach the Final Four. I think that gives us a recipe of chaos and madness in the month of March. I would choose a double-digit seed reaching the Final Four, if only to have some fun in the 2024 men's NCAA tournament. Now strictly in the NBA, as we look at the Western Conference odds in the youth movement atop the standings right now, we have a tie for the one seed in the Western Conference standings, Minnesota and Oklahoma City. Both teams 40 and 17, the records at this current point. So what is more likely? The Timberwolves and the Thunder both make the Western Conference Finals, or the Timberwolves and the Thunder both lose in round number one?
You want to cheer for both of these teams because it is a youth movement and fun new teams here at the top of the standings. If you take a look at them right now in the Western Conference, they're 1-2 clear here. It is a dead heat. They're both very good basketball teams, and we are expecting big things come in the playoffs. But let's be honest with ourselves. When the rubber meets the road and these teams got to play the superior, talented, veteran-laden teams who have been there, done that, and once again, Ben, it's not a one-off. It's not like, hey, look at this. Oklahoma City is going to be home against Denver here, and the winner of this game moves on to the finals. Now, granted, gigantic. Could it come down to that in a seven-game series? Yes. But you're talking about having the ability to play good for one basketball game and knock down one of those NBA favorites as opposed to beating those NBA favorites over a four-game stretch. For me, it's more likely that they get knocked out in round one, which, again, I don't think it's going to happen. I just think it's more likely than both of these teams' 1-2 seeds here meeting up in the Western Conference Finals for me, Ben.
Completely agree. Again, I don't think either gets knocked out in round number one. I definitely do not think both get knocked out in round number one. I just don't think both make it to the Western Conference Finals. As we go back to the odds, what stands out to me, OKC now third best price. The number grows shorter and shorter, plus 750. It was 8-1 yesterday. It's where the Timberwolves are now at an 8-1 price. Oklahoma City, a better price to win the Western Conference. Minnesota, a better price to win the NBA Championship, 23-1. $2 in front of the Thunder at 25-1. Interesting juxtaposition there. But when you look at the path, for the same reason Donnie just highlighted, a NBA play-in tournament team could reach the NBA Finals, it's the same reason I fear Oklahoma City and or Minnesota will not make it to the Western Conference Finals. Let's say the T-Wolves are the one seed. Right now, the four teams in the play-in tournament would be Sacramento against Dallas, the Lakers against the Warriors. You would either be playing Minnesota or OKC, one of those four teams. That's a very difficult opening round series, despite having home floor advantage for that better record throughout the entire duration of a regular season. It is why the NBA postseason can be so up in the air. The Lakers did not reach the NBA Finals last year, but out of the play-in tournament, of course, reached the Western Conference Finals before getting swept by the Denver Nuggets. Final, what's more likely as we go strictly to the NCAA tournament and a focus on the Purdue Boilermakers. The recent NCAA tournament results for the Boilers, 2017, 2018, 2022, a Sweet 16 appearance, 2019 all the way to the Elite Eight, an overtime thriller in that regional final against Virginia, who would end up coming back and then winning a national championship that year. In 2021, and of course last year in 2023, as a one seed against the 16 seed in Fairleigh Dickinson, they got bounced in the round of 64, one and done. So what is more likely this time around? Purdue wins a national championship or Purdue loses before the Elite Eight?
Yeah, Purdue might, after their first round win, let's just say they're a one seed against a 16, might cut down the nets and try to have a parade at this point because all of that, oh my goodness, we got a win here in the month of March. Now, granted, moving forward, if you're just looking at the odds, they're one of the favorites to win the championship. So rightfully so, you should say it's probably easier for Purdue to win it than actually get knocked out before the Elite Eight. But I got to tell you, this is the same team makeup that has not worked out over the past couple March Madnesses when you still had Zach Edey, and also Zach Edey being a player of the year and or a player of the year candidate here. Until I see it on the home court here, I am not going to show up here and bet for Purdue to win a national championship. Maybe about it when they get to the Final Four because they've gotten over that hump, but quite frankly, I look for them to be on the ropes in one of these games, and you can't draw back and go, yeah, we've handled this before. It's the, oh no, Ben, here we go again scenario.
I mean, how could Donnie Wrightside be faulted in that line of thought? Purdue has not reached a Final Four since 1980. Since that point, in over four decades of NCAA tournament appearances, Purdue has only reached the Elite Eight three times. Most recently, 2019, as we shared, then 2000 and 1994. Recent trends would tell you they might not even get to the Elite Eight, let alone reach the Final Four or win a national championship. But we have also seen a trend play out only one other time in tournament history. That's a one seed losing to a 16 seed, and then the following season winning a national championship. Virginia in 2018, losing to UMBC. In 2019, a national championship for the Cavaliers. I think that's what happens to this Purdue team. Now, we saw it a couple weeks ago on a Sunday in Columbus against Ohio State. When things aren't working, a little bit too reliant on times of getting the basketball to Zach Edey down low and not the perimeter scoring that Purdue needs come an NCAA tournament. But this team, as opposed to last year, is different. Braden Smith, Lance Jones, Fletcher Lawyer, and the X Factor, Mason Gillis. This Purdue team will win a national championship. We round out hour number one up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's been a question on the Sports Grid Network, at least on the TV side, not so much on the radio side of things, here at the Spiz Grizz. Where in the world is Joe Lisi? Football season comes to a close. We don't see the mastermind of the pigskin all that much more. Well, I'm Ben. He's Donnie. We both worked with Lisi Guy throughout football season on CFT and PFT. We were together on the same stage out in Las Vegas on Radio Row. Where was Lisi Guy last night? Joe Lisi was on Game Time Decisions with Kevin Walsh, looking at the futures market in college football for the changing landscape of 2024.
Let me ask you this, though, because you know people are going to be betting them. Big number. It's 40-1 on Colorado. It was a weird ending to their season, but here's the one thing, JY. They might have.
JY.
And,
JY.
Like, did I say JY? That couldn't have been me. So they must have hacked my microphone.
Hang on. Listen, let's go to the TO.
Look,
I think we need a TO. I don't know. Producers, listen, can we,
he's got
can
me
we
rattled.
Cut that?
That's
tough
good
scene.
Stuff. That is very good stuff. I would never call DRS a different name. I would never use the abbreviation of his name and say something else. It would always be Donnie or DRS, Mr. Right Side. That's a very tough moment for a young Kevin Walsh.
And by the way, I mean, it just shows, like, Kevin probably showed up in the studio late that day, didn't get the notes, his mind wasn't there, he takes off a lot,
yep.
So I can see those happening. But also on the other side here, where is Joe Lisi filming from? Is it a sauna here? Why does his background look like it's all fogged up and I can't see the city? And also, is he wearing a stethoscope over there with those hard-lined ears right there? I mean, what are we doing here at this point? Is this a show that appears on our network? I mean, my goodness, what are we doing here, Ben? Couldn't be us.
I'm just going to leave that as it was because that might be clipped and used for other things. We strive for professional work here at
we
the
do.
Spiz Grizz Network.
The pros.
That was
the pros
a tough scene. Colorado under 5.5 wins, by the way. Hour two starts in less than a minute.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.